Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
Doris Miller obviously was a hero from Pearl Harbor. He was the first African-American sailor to get the Navy Cross because of his heroics on the USS West Virginia. And he's from Waco, Texas. And the other cool thing is the U.S. Navy, as we speak, are building the largest, baddest aircraft carrier ever built. And it's not going to be named after an admiral. It's not going to be named after a president. It's going to be the USS Doris Miller.
You may have heard of a locality naming a poet laureate. Bobby Horner is the man here in Waco that I refer to as the civic laureate. In this episode of The Waco Experience, an American Story, we have part two of our conversation. Bobby loves to promote his town. He is a walking history book, gives tours of the community, and he's also active in the future of Waco through his involvement with organizations and programs educating our youth. I met Bobby Horner at Thousand Friends of Waco, a monthly meeting organized by the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. Much of the information presented is related to the growth of local employers or companies choosing to locate to the Waco area and the jobs and economic benefit they bring. We learn from the past, enjoy the present, and look to the future. You'll enjoy part two of my conversation with Civic Laureate Bobby Horner. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I share inspiring stories from my community, Waco, Texas. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. Ray's Automotive Specialist. Cars are complicated. Ray makes keeping your car in top condition simple. He's located at 5900 Franklin Avenue Service Road, Suite 33, right here in Waco. My wife will tell you, my car is my baby. When it needed service, I reached out to Ray, someone I trust. Call Ray at 254-235-5991 and learn more online at fixmycarray.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is your sanctuary and an expression of your personality. Smooth, elegant, a lifetime of beauty guaranteed, and available for immediate delivery. The best thing to do, visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Call Quality Cabinets at 254-744-0938 to schedule a consultation and visit their website, qualitycabinetstx.com. Well, this is part two with Bobby Horner. We're here in McLean Stadium. Beautiful day. They've been cleaning the stadium, so we've been listening to some leaf blowers in the background, but I think we probably were able to edit that out of there. But D. Scott here, and Bobby Horner is my guest, Heritage and Horizons Consulting, LLC. In the last episode, we talked about the history of Waco, and we concluded with a pair of trains in a stunt, publicity stunt, that were set up on tracks and run into each other, and now there's a musical comedy about that. But in this edition, Bobby, I want to talk about our future, specifically our youth, because as you know, when you spend time with college, high school, younger even students, we're looking into the future.
That's right.
And we've met some great students.
Yes.
I think our future is secure because our students are bright.
Right.
There's the STEAM Center going in.
Yes.
That's where I want to start. Let's start there, and then let's just roll through and talk about your involvement and the opportunities for students in Central Texas, and specifically here in McLennan County and Waco.
Let me begin by saying, back when I was in school, one of the things it was kind of preached to me that, well, if you really want to be successful, you need to go to like a four-year school, you know, get your bachelor's degree, you know, and that was, yeah, you could go to a two-year school or you could go to the military, but that was then. But now you fast forward to now, and I could not tell you how many people, and we've heard it all over the country, businesses are hurting for people to have a skill level. And now all of that technical training is come front and center in what we need. And Waco is no different. One of the things that I'm involved with, as I mentioned earlier, I had gone to TSTI in architectural drafting and design, but they have the building construction trades, which ties in with what my profession was. And students can learn a skill. And I guess when I talk to students about working, and this is kind of where the STEAM Center comes in too, is how many times have we heard students go to a 4 or 5 year school, graduate, and still can't get a job, but yet they've got all that debt they got to pay back. Well, the way I approach it, I don't knock 4 or 5 year schools. We need them. But if a student wanted to go and, say, get a certificate or a 2 year degree, start working, earning money, and then if they want to go on to a 4 year school, more power to them. And they don't carry that debt with them. And so that is kind of what I try to talk to students about. And whether it's through Skills USA or like at the STEAM Center or the Youth Innovation Studio, where we want to give students an opportunity to, in this case, in the audio visual digital media AI realm that's coming on, an opportunity to get their foot in the door. Maybe it's on doing stuff like we're doing here, whether it's podcasts, whether it's video, whether it's setting up the cameras, where it's laying out the cables. I mean, just anything to get them some experience on the audiovisual media. And what that will do is that will go on to like a resume, a digital resume that they could eventually send out to other businesses that do that, whether it's a TV station, whether it's radio. I mean, there's so many different areas that students could take that experience. Well, that's kind of what the STEAM Center is all about. And I think that stands for science, technology, education, arts, and math.
Yeah,
I think
engineering, arts, and
engineering,
math.
Engineering. That's right. That's right. I always have to think about that, but it's really cool. And the other neat thing, side note, is that is going into the Bledsoe Miller building, which that has history written all over it in and of itself because of Doris Miller and Jules Bledsoe. So one of the things that we'd like to do is do a story on that with the students.
So let's get a little thumbnail sketch of the history.
Okay. Well, Doris Miller obviously was a hero from Pearl Harbor. He was the first African-American sailor to get the Navy Cross because of his heroics on the USS West Virginia. And anybody that's seen the movie a few years back with Ben Affleck and all, they know that, you know, he was a mess hall attendant. And that, because at that time it was segregated, so they couldn't get trained on all the artillery. But Doris Miller grew up in Texas. He learned real quick how to fire a weapon. So he jumped on an abandoned anti-aircraft gun and started firing. Now, there's some discussion on how many planes he may have shot down, but that's really not the important thing. What he did after he ran out of ammunition, I can't even talk today, he jumped in the water and started saving sailors out of the burning water. And the interesting thing about that is probably some of the ones he saved were different colored skin, you know, people that didn't like him because he was African-American, but he did it anyway. And he ultimately became literally, I think, the poster boy to go around the country and promote not only the armed services, but the president even gave him credit for starting to desegregate the military, which is fabulous. And he's from Waco, Texas. And the other cool thing is the U.S. Navy, as we speak, are building the largest, baddest aircraft carrier ever built. And it's not going to be named after an admiral. It's not going to be named after a president. It's going to be the USS Doris Miller.
That's fantastic. Yes. I had not heard that one.
Yes, yes. That, and I think it's supposed to be commissioned in 2032, I think, once they do it and get all the bugs out of it, so to speak. And Jules Bledsoe kind of did the desegregation thing in a different way. He was a great singer, very highly educated. I think he could speak several languages, but he had a deep baritone voice. And he sang Old Man River in the musical Showboat, and that's what really brought him fame. Because due to segregation, he couldn't go to some of these big opera houses. So he had to go like overseas to sing over there. But when that song hit, then everybody wanted him back. He kind of opened the door on the music side of things, just like Doris Miller opened the door on the war side of things. Both of them African-American gentlemen, both of them from Waco, Texas. And it's really special for Waco to claim both of those guys.
So that just adds a great depth.
Yes.
So when people drive down mm-hmm. and they see the Bledsoe Miller building and the steam center that's there,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned some other things that you're involved in with our youth and helping them learn these skills because, yes, as a society, we are in dire need
yes.
of mm-hmm. skilled people, trades,
right.
people.
Yep.
Anyone who's tried to get a plumber or electrician.
That's exactly.
They yep. know exactly what we're talking about.
That's exactly right. One of the things that I tell students when I have a chance to talk with them, whether it's high school or college, and I'm usually talking to those in the trade, you know, trade areas like you just mentioned, but I tell them, look, if you want to be successful, you treat people fairly. You do what you say you're going to do and even go the extra mile. I said, if you take care of people and they feel respected, you'll have all the work you want to have because people are looking for that, not just do something, get paid and leave. But if you take care of your customers, and I'm speaking also from a citizen too, because that means a lot to me, but I tell them, look, knowledge can be learned. You may be extremely good at what you do, but if you don't have people skills, the soft skills, you're not going to last very long. And so I tell them, look, go the extra mile. There may be times if you're a business owner, you may do something for free, just, you know, or at least some a discounted amount, whatever. People will remember that. Word of mouth advertising, you can't beat that. I know it personally, that's important for me. So I try to preach that to high school students and college students. And the networking that we've talked about already, how important that is. But I've had contractors tell me many times over the years, they said, I've talked to students and I will pay for their certification if they will just come back and work for me. I mean, that's how desperate it is. And it's not just in the construction realm. It's a lot of our industry around the country. Waco's no different. So the Steam Center is an opportunity for students and even you know older adults that want to get more education to get involved and learn a skill, whatever that may be. You know, again, get their foot in the door, and you don't have to go to college to do that. We hope they do, maybe in some way. Continue your education. Keep learning, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, lifelong learning is
exactly
a great way to go.
That's right.
But start with something that maybe you're interested in that'll help pay the bills and keep you moving forward.
Yep. One of the things that drives me, you know, people laugh at me and say, you're not really retired, are you? And I said, well, I retired from the city, although I'm still involved with them, but I'm doing all this fun stuff that I enjoy doing, and it gives me a sense of purpose, and it's very fulfilling for me individually as a person. When you can work with people and you see them having fun too, it just kind of drives it. And like I say, sometimes you might get paid for your services, whatever that is, and sometimes you just do it for free. That interaction with people is really critical. And people are looking for that. You hear all the negative stuff on the news that we've seen, like that's all we hear. People are looking for something positive. I enjoy doing that personally, and I know other people do. So that's why I keep doing what I'm doing.
Recently, a jobs report came out, and the number of unemployment claims is down, but the number of jobs being created is lockdown. Mm-hmm. And we hear a lot of things about people having a hard time finding jobs. Mm-hmm. When you're giving those presentations with 1,000 friends, mm-hmm. you often talk about these different businesses coming into town and how many jobs they're bringing.
Yeah.
But these, in many cases, are jobs that require some sort of skill.
Yeah.
Some sort of training.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about, is it Skills America?
Yeah.
What's the program?
What, well, it's Skills USA.
Skills USA. Been, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's been around since 1965. It was known as VICA back at the time. And I can't remember what that acronym stands for, but vocational something. But then that's what evolved into Skills USA like it is today. I'm involved in the district, particularly state levels, but then it goes to the national competition. And in some cases, it's world. I mean, some of these very specialized skills.
Yeah. So but, tell us what it is. What do the students actually do? How do they get involved in?
Well,
and what do they do?
Well, for example, in the building construction trade, students don't, they may be learning a trade. They don't have to participate in skills. But if you want to be on a Skills USA team, which in Teamworks, it's four people, you have to put in the extra work. You know, like if they don't have class on Fridays, well, if you're on the skills team, you're practicing. You have a carpenter, you have a plumber, you have an electrician, and you have a mason. And when we do the competition, we make them run it like a job. You know, you have to have a team captain, and we have a guy that is our project manager. We design it, and he's technically the one they work for 2 days. And we have guys that are judges, or a lot of them are actual inspectors. We make them build it to code. We make them keep their job site clean. And we have a safety officer. In that 14 hours total over 2 days, we run it like a job site. If they mess up and on some of their materials, they get counted off for it.
So the students actually, as you mentioned, you've got these different trade skills. They come together, they've got plans, and they actually have to build something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 14 hours, 2 days, and they get judged in the process and in the final product.
That's right. And they, at the beginning, they, every one of them have to, and this is high school and college together now, they have to do a presentation of their project to a team of our judges. And they have to say, well, I'm the project manager. This team member does this. This team member does this. I mean, again, it's like as much as we can make it like a job site, safety, then we do that.
And so that's local here. So Skills USA,
there's a district level.
There's a district level yep. here that people can get involved in.
Yep.
And how do people get involved with that?
They're always looking for volunteers, particularly usually the district competition is held out at TSDC campus because it's larger. And there's several of the schools that in this particular district, and there's like, I think 13 districts in the state of Texas, usually out at TSDC, they're always looking for judge volunteer. You know, if you want to be a judge and you have some expertise in an area, whether it's architecture, construction, whatever the competition is, they're always looking for volunteers. So that's one way. And I would highly encourage that.
And I was just thinking, if you're a builder, you have these skills, you could do a little scouting maybe for
absolutely.
Future employees.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even at the state level too, you know, we get companies that sponsor and they will hire the students, you know, and that's what we encourage is that, look, you've got some young talent coming up down the pike. Go look at them. I know there's one company that they're not only a national sponsor, but they hire some of these students to work for them. That's what it's for. The district level is where you get the first opportunity to kind of see, you know, whether and it may be just a plumber, it may be just electrician, it could be carpentry. And TSDC's got their big multi-million dollar BCT building under construction, should be finishing up at the end of this year.
And that's building and construction trades, BCT.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
How did the team do this last year? I think they did all right.
TSDC's team, they got second in national. Let's see. I think they got second in nationals last year. I think they got third or fourth this time around.
In nationals?
Yes.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And the guy that their instructor actually, he was in the VICA program and went to nationals. So he's done cabinetry and the carpentry side. And one thing that they look for is if you have a building materials and you want to donate building materials, it's what we usually have at state. Some people may donate the plumbing pipe. Some may donate wood. Some may donate the electrical boxes. For that, we give them, obviously, advertising, supporting Skills USA. So there's a lot of ways to volunteer, a lot of ways to support the students. The national competition, I got to go, not this past one, but the year before, and it will just flat blow you away. I mean, there is probably 180 different careers that people can, I mean, even in the hospitality, I walked by one of the competitions and there were students rolling napkins for the upper end hospitality stuff. Wow. And I didn't see everything. I mean, it's spread over like two or three different buildings it was in Atlanta.
Well, this is exciting stuff. As we said, there's a lot of jobs coming into the Waco area.
Yep.
People who say they can't find work just don't know where to look. And students, the same thing.
Right. And let me say something about that. I was going to say it earlier. I know Waco has tried to keep people here that they train. One of the things that the City of Waco, TSDC, and Clinton County have gotten together, out in our industrial district, there's a place called the Work Site. And what that is, it's a part of TSDC. TSDC runs it, but it's right out in the middle of all of these big industrial factories we got out here. Each of those factories has a member on the advisory board of the work site. And what they do is, say, graphics packaging, they're already using it a lot. If they have some employees that need training in a particular skill, they can go right down the street to the work site and get that training. TSDC will even develop the training, the curriculum for a particular skill. Those people can get that skill or certificate, whatever it is, and go back to work. They're right there by it. And hopefully that will enable them to get a bump in pay and keeps them around. So I think that was ingenious for TSDC to do that and put it right there in the big middle where all our industry is happening.
Yeah, I haven't been into that building, but I've seen some pictures.
Oh, it's great.
It looks like a clean room.
It is. I mean, it is a big open room, a big part of it, and they have individual classrooms. I mean, it is just fabulous. But they will develop a curriculum for a particular skill level if you need it. The other interesting thing, which I think that's important, because our industrial park, Envases and Electrolit, are two companies from Mexico. And what still blows my mind, we are having companies like that pick Waco, Texas for their first manufacturing facility in the United States. And these two companies are from Mexico and they're right across the street from each other. We've got Germany has a big presence here. Graphic packaging is huge. Uzinu has a training facility in Dover, Delaware. This is their second one in the United States, and their training facility in Dover has moved to Waco, so that brings all the contractors here. Well, that exposes Waco to more people in the country. I just think the Chamber's done a great job of promoting that. The city of Waco, it's still growing. And now you're seeing growth in Robinson and other cities around here. So it's just kind of expanding.
Yeah, some people might feel the rumble from SpaceX on occasion.
On occasion, yeah. Yeah, Elon can kind of stir things up with some of the, I mean, we've had stuff at our house rattle too, but I don't know. I've had a chance to go out to SpaceX about three different occasions. I didn't get to witness one of the test launches, but it's, they've got several test towers out there, and I have got on a couple of occasions to go inside the hangars and see the rockets that they're assembling before they send them down to Florida, or now down to Boca Chica, Texas, for his, you know, big rockets and stuff. It is amazing.
Spacetown?
I think something like that. Yeah, why not? But I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of jobs at all levels. And yes, that's what I'm seeing here is that from entry level, folks, if you're in high school and you just need a few bucks, you can push a broom somewhere.
Yeah.
You can push a broom somewhere. Skilled laborers.
Right.
Skilled laborers. There's a lot of opportunities for folks there.
Yes.
And the training is here.
Yes.
You can get the training here.
Yep.
And then management, engineering, entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the startup businesses that you see and kind of that ecosystem. And then I don't want to look into the future. What does Bobby Horner see for the future here?
I see Waco continuing to grow. There's something about us, and I think it's definitely our location in the state, because we're on a major thoroughfare. We're only about 4 hours from the coast where people can use shipping. And we've got, of course, TSTC Airport, and then we've got with L3 and, of course, McGregor's Airport, Waco's Airport that's growing. So we've got the transportation hub there that continues to grow, which is very important to these factories and companies. But I see Waco just continuing to grow. I think the entertainment side of Waco, as the Brazos, and particularly when all this development continues to develop, I see that bringing even more people here. What it makes me feel good is when people come here, I tell people it's still got that, it's growing, but it still has that small town feel. And then they say, well, it's just that good old Southern hospitality. Now that makes you feel good. And I see that continuing. My boss, when I first came to the city, told me, he said, whenever our country goes through a recession, it seems like Texas is the last to go in and the first to come out, and we don't get hit as hard as everybody else around the country. And I've seen that. I mean, it just, you know, the last time I think we really got hit hard was back in the mid-80s that I remember.
Yeah, it's when growing. People talk about the Great Recession, yeah. 2007, 2008,
yeah.
They weren't around in the early 80s.
Yeah, right. it was pretty rough back then, but for some reason, and my former boss was right, it may slow down some. And he always told me, he said, you know, you'll see a period of rise, then it plateaus off, then it'll start rising again. Well, now it's just a constant rise. And I see that continuing. I know some people might like to see Waco stay kind of small town, but it's exciting to me. And the businesses that are coming and the opportunities. I mean, when you have for example, on the Brazos, when you have the Chinese national rowing team that goes to the Olympics here training on the Brazos. Wow, we got surfing here.
Yeah, and the U.S. surf team.
That's right. That
comes here to train.
That's right. I told a friend of mine that is involved with that, I said, it's just a hunch of mine, but with the Olympics coming back to the United States, I could see the Brazos being a big training site for some of these teams, because our temperature is basically pretty good all year round. Brazos is one of the longest and straightest rivers you can row on. I guess, go back to your question, I see Waco continuing to grow, and I see the opportunities that TSTC, Baylor, MCC offer to keep people here. Of course, they're always trying. I know the city's trying to up requirements on hourly pay. To get incentives, you got to meet this hourly threshold. Companies are doing that. So I see good things for Waco, and maybe I'm partial. I've been here a long time, but I love it. This is my home. I'm excited to promote. I love promoting it. And whether it's history, whether it's on the education side with students, you know, meet people to come visit. And so it's great. I love it.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.